once again to another edition of John Stadmiller's Intel Report. I'm Chris Kerner speaking to you on the 15th of March. Whoops. Eyes of March. The 15th of July. And it's just amazing how things are going. We have Hansa with us tonight again, but I want to alert you of a couple additions to the website. Just getting in my chair here. I had some workers come in and put in this new phone system to accommodate the network. But the Worker Communist Party of Iraq and the Iraqi Communist Party needs your attention at the top of the website. That whole section needs your attention if you haven't looked at it already. It is very, very appropriate that we understand communism is not dead, and yet it's being instilled in Iraq as we're the invading force of Iraq to save them, apparently, from themselves at this point in time. The insurgents, who are supplying the insurgents with their weaponry? That's going to be a little topic today with Hansa Molina. He's going to be back with us again. Hansa brings a perspective that just about every single one of us could not even dream of having because he comes from Czechoslovakia. He's seen what's happened. He's seen what's happened with code enforcement in his country. He's seen what's happened with child protective services in his country, I'll bet you. The other thing I want you to look at is the global conspiracy to depopulate the population. This is the National Security Study Memorandum 200, NSSM 200, dated April 1974. And who was behind this? None other than Henry Kissinger. Very, very important to connect this dot, listeners. You'll see by Stephen Mumford as well, The Life and Death of NSSM 200, How the Destruction of Political Will Doomed a U.S. Population Policy. And you'll learn about President Nixon's remarks upon signing the bill, creating the commission in 1970, the commission's recommendations submitted in 1972 on nearly 50 areas of policy and action, including sex education, equal rights for women, contraception and minors, voluntary sterilization, abortion, and population stabilization. On Chapter 3, you'll learn about 1974 directive signed by Henry Kissinger on behalf of President Nixon, and the text of the study report, the implications of worldwide population growth for U.S. security and overseas interests. It's quite remarkable how all this planning from the past is well into fruition today. This is why I do this, and we put this up on the website. It is highly revealing information, and that there's no denying the facts of what's happening here, listeners. And this is the point in the problem. In 1970, Richard Nixon signed Executive Order 11552, providing for details and transfers of federal employees to international organizations. It was a pattern that goes on and on through various administrations to where it is today, where George Walker Bush says, "I'm the one that makes the decisions, not you." We'll be back to continue with the broadcast and bring Hansa Molina back with us.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadmiller.
Hoping John's on a good road to recovery. John Stadmiller, that is, listeners, and we are certainly embroiled in a direction that is confusing to most of us. Keep in mind what I said before. The Iraqi Communist Party, the Iraqi Workers' Party. Look at that. National Security Study Memorandum 200. Study that. Get the information to others. Come to your conclusions. As we interview Hansa today, start formulating questions. Because we'll start questioning him and allow you to question him, because we need to pick his brain about what he knows and what he's experienced. Hansa, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Chris, and I'm glad to be here again with you.
Yeah, I know. So am I. I appreciate your information and your concern. You believe that we're going to be attacked someday.
Yeah, I mean, everything shows that that's the case. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at article published by British Financial Times, and this is from this is published today. Major General Chinese military Zhu Chenghu said that we Chinese will prepare ourselves for the destruction of all cities east of Xi'an in central China, he said. Of course, the Americans will have to be prepared that hundreds of cities will be destroyed by the Chinese using nuclear weapons. This is the statement of the Chinese. The Chinese government is trying to downplay it, but I think that's precisely the strategy. You know, but of course, there's China Russia alliance, which they don't even try to hide. That's another very important part of the strategy what these people are involved in. As I am reading today, Chinese government official director of School of International Politics at Beijing University, also Li Jihu, said the recent summit between the Chinese official Yu Jintao and Vladimir Putin was part of an effort that China cooperation with Russia is aimed at countering the United States and Japan. This cooperation would lead to limiting, quote, the geographical and political offensives launched by the United States and Japan. So they're setting us up. This is just the excuse for the Chinese and the Russians to set up this kind of alliance, which is already in place for long years to begin with. These are both communist countries. Russia is disguised as so-called democracy, which never happened. There's no freedom in Russia and Eastern Europe. I have countless examples of that, from my native Czech Republic, in Russia the situation is much worse. And of course China is still a communist country. These people have no problem wiping out half the world population, in order to implement the world domination of communism. And I grew up in that system, and I can tell you that these people will not stop.
Let me ask you now, we have a dire situation. We had a guest on yesterday and her father regarding Child Protective Services taking her children out of the home for having a messy house, and other situations that came along with it, and they just one thing compounded upon another. Do you know about things like this in your country?
Well, to be honest with you, not exactly, but
okay.
There were situations where, the entire family was forced to live by the rules what they set up. So it's much more, living under communist rules is like living in one big prison. You're not allowed to question the government. You're not allowed to voice opinions. You just have to go to work and work as a slave. For the communists, not paid enough. You don't have enough money to be able to do anything really substantial with your family. You live in conditions that are not to the standards. It's a situation that those who oppose the communists are most likely being killed and or sentenced to long-term prison terms. The situation in communist countries is just about that. And then when you talk about the collapse of, so-called collapse of communism in Eastern Europe, the communists are able to set up these phony dissidents and pretend and create a massive promotion of their so-called problems during the communist era in order to create the notion that these people really overthrew the communist regime, which is totally laughable. First of all, the communists control all the media, all the information. They control the phone lines, they control the mail. They had very sophisticated letter opening machines that were able to open letters without, you know, the recipients noticing that they were opened. And you know, letters mail was read. And you know, if you had somebody in a Western country that who defected, and then the people were trying to send you money, you know, the money were intercepted and stolen by the communists, and some stuff that you know. I've heard countless stories, and I know, from my personal experience that this is the case. And of course, you know, you always watched, estimated in my former country in Czechoslovakia, estimated every fourth person worked for the communists. So you have a lot of informers in the society that inform about what you're doing, what you say. You have to be careful not to say anything against the government, and you know, they document everything. And when the time comes, you know, they take you to trial, and you know,
starting to implement that here with neighbors snitching on neighbors?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much the situation is here. I haven't had any experience of that.
They have legislation being introduced, and I don't think it's passed yet, but the fact that if a neighbor knows of any drug dealing going on in their neighbor's area, they're supposed to report this.
Well, if it's crime related, then I wouldn't count it as a bad thing.
Well, actually, it can lead to a bad thing. It starts out this way, but it leads to a bad thing down the road. You see
right,
what
there
I say?
There should be some kind of a safeguard when you know, somebody tries to get you into trouble. There should be some kind of safeguard of the law that says, say, you know, you can sue the neighbor, and or the neighbor could be brought up on criminal charges or implementing. I think we're talking about all the different you know, things, Chris. Over in a communist country, they had to have, if you were somehow opposing the regime, all they had to have, they had to come up with false witnesses, and you were gone. That's it.
Well, right now, this woman that lost her children under Department of Family and Children Services, the only reason they came in there is because a fellow worker said something derogatory about her to them, and she doesn't even know who her accuser is. That's no different than in your country.
Well, yeah, and We should consider this as a on an individual basis.
It's the beginning of
right.
The end.
It is. I agree that's a wrong thing to do.
The infiltration into our government today has got to be very, very paramount to what's happened in the past in other countries of infiltrators from communist countries, the Soviet system.
Obviously, that's the case. You were talking about Henry Kissinger. I'm looking at a perfect article about him. Let me quote real quick, if I may.
Oh yeah.
Henry Kissinger had, when he was still working for the Nixon administration, press conference on August 14, 1975. A reporter asked, Mr. Secretary, we received a report that Colonel General Michael Goliniewski, who was a Polish Army intelligence officer, had identified a list of KGB and GRU, that's the Soviet military agents and officers, who have since been arrested, tried, and convicted. The general also identified you, Mr. Kissinger, as having worked for a Soviet intelligence network, codenamed ODRA, headquartered in West Germany during World War II, and at the same time you were a U.S. Army counter-interrogator and instructor in a military intelligence school. Is this true? And if not, how do you explain your name being on my General Goliniewski's list? Kissinger replied that he doesn't know who Colonel Goliniewski is, but I think he should be given the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. But of course, there's more about what do you expect that he was going to say?
Right.
But there's more and much more damaging when the CIA counterintelligence chief James Angleton was questioning why Kissinger is not attending the briefings. He started suspecting Kissinger of being a Soviet spy, but soon, however, the investigation of Kissinger was dropped. it became a political hot potato. By the time Kissinger had gained Nixon's total confidence, later a leading CIA counterintelligence officer, Leonard V. McCoy, would suspect Kissinger in an incident involving the arrest and execution of an American spy, codenamed Trigon, in Russia. The incriminating piece of evidence against Kissinger involved an NSA intercept from the Soviet embassy in Washington. It was a cable sent by Ambassador Anatoly Dobrynin to Moscow referring to, quote, advice, unquote, given by Professor Kissinger.
Very, very revealing. We'll be back with Hansel Molina. The anticommunistanalyst.com is the website. On our website, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, we shall return about something about suitcase nukes. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller for 3 weeks starting Monday. Happy to do so. Absolutely so. We have these directions that are very, very ominous, and certainly Dennis and Darren are uncovering lots of good information on the website. Hansa has his information. The statement you made about Henry Kissinger there, are you read? What is your thoughts about Henry Kissinger, Hans?
Well, there was information that Henry Kissinger was, I am told that Henry Kissinger was the one who ordered the HUAC files destroyed as the House Un-American Activities Committee. He was the one who ordered them to be destroyed.
Amazing.
And so these files contain a lot of names of people that, you know, for example, the Harold Ickes name was in those files. His son was part of the Clinton administration, for example. So I'm not sure. I can't remember if he was the chief of staff of Bill Clinton while he was president. But he was in the administration. So that's just one name to give you. You're talking about infiltration of the U.S. government. I totally agree with you. I mean, without agents of influence inside our administration, inside our government, even among the congressmen or senators, the Russians wouldn't be able to pull this kind of deception, which, you know, contains basically the and involves most of all the false collapse of communism.
Now, it's very funny that we're talking about this. You've discussed in the past to me the fact that they compromise senators and congressmen and administrators of this country. They compromise them by getting them in compromising situations. You're alluding to Ivana Trump.
Well, I was... you're putting me on spot here.
Well, maybe I shouldn't go any further, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't see the certain times where, you know, for example, Ivana Trump comes from my former hometown. So, as a matter of fact, my mother knows her mother. So, that's just to tell you. But there was some peculiar stuff about Ivana Trump, how she got out, and of course, you know, how there was some situation about her. She was able to go she used to be a skier. So she was allowed by the communists to leave the country for ski competitions, including the one in state of New York at the time when there was no snow. So just to give you that, that's just a little detail. Now the problem is that she owns the Plaza Hotel in New York City due to the marriage with Donald Trump, and that hotel. Like I said, I'd rather stop right here. I don't want to imply anything, but we all know who stays in those hotels and stuff. So, you know, there's this interesting information when people talk and all that. So just to give you that kind of idea. You know, there are people inside, and I can quote Mr. Golitsyn in his book, The Perestroika Deception. He basically says, and he's a KGB defector, was proven 94% correct on his predictions in his first book, New Lies for All, that was published in 1984. He predicted the false collapse of communism. He said that was the strategic, strategic operation set up by the Russians long ago, basically 40 years in advance, and they were working on it and perfecting it, testing it. And he said that, for example, the Russians would be very much interested in infiltrating the National Security Office of the National Security Advisor, because that is essential to their strategy, because when there are people that prefer more diplomacy while dealing with the communist threat, then basically instead of using the obvious procedure, addressing it more with more radical means, such people are very favorable for the communist operation and for the strategy, because then the communists get all kinds of time and leverage, of course, and then of course there's a lot of deception spread throughout these agents of influence. So the enemy, which is the United States, gets steered the wrong way.
Mm.
I'm looking at, for example, there was Russian defector, colonel of the Russian military intelligence, GRU, Stanislav Lunev, who reported that Russia's military, despite the end of the Cold War, continues to prepare for a war with the United States. And Lunev, and this I'm quoting Newsmax article, Lunev claimed that he had collected information on the U.S. president and senior U.S. political and military leaders so they could be targeted for assassination in the event of war.
Mm.
And there's of course more about the suitcase nukes and how they were prepositioned in the United States, stored in hiding places where they could be concealed until needed.
Okay, we're going to talk about that upon our return. We're with Hansa Molina. AnticommunistAnalyst.com is the website. On our website, AmericanExpose.com, we will return. Get ready for your questions for the second hour to Hansa.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With Hansa Molina listeners, and Hans, as a truck driver, you probably have heard of the radio show Coast to Coast AM, Hans?
Yes, I have, yeah, of course.
Okay, so here we see, in the first half of this show, entitled Nuclear Threat to America, Paul L. Williams, author of the upcoming book Al-Qaeda Connection, discussed the threat of nuclear attacks in the U.S. by terrorists. The fact that bin Laden has nuclear weapons has been verified, he said, and Al-Qaeda has been planning an attack on America, but as well is well on its way. Sources that ran the gamut from military, academic, and press and intelligence all concur that a nuclear attack in the U.S. is imminent, Williams declared. There's more to this, but here I see an article dated September 5th, 1997, from the repository out of Canton, Ohio. Russia loses track of 100 nuke bombs. The Russian's military has lost track of 100 suitcase-sized nuclear bombs, the nation's former national security chief has told the American lawmakers, who expressed alarm to the Clinton administration. But U.S. and Russia officials discussed the claims by retired General Alexander Lebed, the ousted one-time foe of President Boris Yeltsin. Quote, we don't have any evidence to support what Lebed said, and responsible Russian officials have specifically denied it, end quote, a White House official said. The one-kiloton nuclear bombs, which weigh 60 to 100 pounds and can fit into a suitcase or backpack, can kill 50,000 to 100,000 people and devastate a portion of a city, according to Lebed. So we have this situation with Al-Qaeda and those nuke bombs. And once again, we continue with this from about Coast to Coast AM. The MS-13 street gang has helped smuggle suitcase nukes across the border from Mexico, according to Williams, who added that he believes at least 30 nukes have already been positioned inside America. They are likely transported in lead containers that make their detection difficult. If a 10-kiloton bomb went off in a city such as Los Angeles, it would take out at least a half-mile area. Following the impact, there'd be a 460-foot-tall fireball heated to 10 million degrees Celsius, which could rip through the city for miles, he detailed. Isn't that kind of ironic as this connects to what I'm covering from 1997, Han?
Well, first of all, I want to address what you said, what the Russians are saying. That's a total lie about losing such number of nuclear bombs. It's ridiculous. When I served in Czechoslovak military, if somebody, you know, lost a weapon, you were in big trouble. And to be able to let somebody to steal a nuclear bomb, people get shot immediately. They get executed over there. That's the rule. I mean, you know, and it's totally impossible that the Russians would lose any nuclear bombs unless they intended this and the state is behind it. That's got to be understood. This is total deceptive statement from the Russians. They want us to think that Al Qaeda owns the nuclear bombs, so when they attack us, they can blame it on Al Qaeda, and they would remain untouched. This is a very clever idea. Of course, the connection between Al Qaeda and the Russian government is clear. There's an article about Ayman al-Zawahiri, that was published by Wall Street Journal. Ayman al-Zawahiri, the second in command of Al-Qaeda, got lost in got lost, quote unquote, in Russia, in former Soviet Republic of Dagestan, I believe, and he was there for about a year. Then the Russians let him go, even though they knew that he was already a terrorist.
Uh-huh.
The Russians, of course, supplied weapons to Al-Qaeda. Those are Russian weapons. Zawahiri did banking of Al-Qaeda through China. And he had one time a training camp in Bulgaria, which is also part of the former Soviet bloc. This kind of connection is obvious. Also, I was able to I had a meeting in 2003 in Prague, in Czech Republic, with former Czech intelligence officer who told me in front of witness that Mohammed Atta, one of the 9/11 hijackers, was in fact trained in Czechoslovakia in 1988. They, of course, updated his biography so this wouldn't reflect, and they claiming that he was in Egypt at the time studying for architect, which is you can sneak out and basically get out of there, so that's not the issue. These people are able to cover this up. Mohammed Atta was trained for about 18 months in a very well-known terrorist training camp that the Czechoslovak communists set up under orders from Russia, of course, from the Soviet Union back then. They had to cut it short because of the upcoming so-called collapse of communism. But the contacts between Atta and Czech Republic regime continued, according to my sources in Czech Republic. They continued throughout the 90s. Of course, they wanted us to know in fact, Iraq was behind it because the Russians prepositioned us in a situation that we had to act in Iraq because Iraq was involved with producing WMDs. Again, with the help of Russia, that was acknowledged by the Romanian defector, Ion Mihai Pesepa, who was chief of the Romanian intelligence during the communist era. He was the one who had who was in charge of Libya and also Yasser Arafat, and the Russians were in charge of Iraq, and they prepositioned WMDs according to a statement made by late Yuri Andropov back then. They prepositioned WMDs inside these countries, and Andropov also claimed that that the Russian intelligence services control all these friendly Arab nations intelligence services, and they could spread the Soviet operations and Russian operations throughout the world without being being recognized. So this makes sense. And also what I've been through back then in the Czechoslovak military, we were training people from Libya, from the communist regime of Angola. We were training them to learn to fly the Soviet MiGs, which we had the jet fighter planes, and of course there were people from Libya studying on our military academies. So during the communist era, so Czechoslovakia has supplied countless weapons to Libya, to terrorist organizations of the PLO, to Yasser Arafat, who was in fact KGB general, by the way, to organizations like Hamas. And this continues throughout the 90s. Of course, they always, Chris, preposition somebody with a criminal record to sit behind it. Of course, there are always quote, former, unquote, Soviet KGB officers or military intelligence, GRU officers, also involved in such deals. For example, I knew about a case where Czech Republic sold about 50,000 machine guns, about 2 million rounds of ammunition to Hamas through these front companies. It came through Lebanese company that was set up by Syrian general, and the deal was done in 1996, I believe. There are many other such deals. This is only part, just tip of the iceberg, and so this is how they spread their operations throughout the world. And of course, now we're fighting terrorism. We think it's Al Qaeda. But of course, it's Russia behind Al Qaeda, trying to create a major problem, a terrorist attack on America.
Okay, now this situation with this radio show with Paul L. Williams regarding the suitcase nukes. He says among the problems that have led to this situation, and certainly most of us know this situation and the setup, Williams named the porous borders that allow illegals to easily slip into the U.S., the small percentage of freight that is checked on ships and planes, and the radical mosques within the U.S. that harbor and foster terrorism efforts. Now, he goes on to state that former FBI consultant Paul L. Williams pieced together the potential for nuclear terrorism in his 2004 book, Osama's Revenge. He based his findings on intelligence from U.S., British, Pakistani, and Israeli sources that indicate that tactical nuclear weapons may have been stolen from the Russian arsenal in the chaos following the breakup of the USSR. Williams presents evidence that the Chechen mafia acquired some of these portable nuclear weapons and then negotiated the sale of 20 of them to representatives of Osama bin Laden. What is your read on that, Hansa?
He's totally wrong. I mean, I don't see where, that's all pure nonsense. I got statement from Gorbachev. He says in one of the light days, he was asked how many, nuclear bombs were actually stolen from Russia. He said it wouldn't happen. It's impossible to happen. Our soldiers are, and he was in fact correct in that. So, this is totally ridiculous. I served in that military. You get shot for allowing anything like that to happen. The whole idea of the Russian state, now we so-called accept as our strategic ally, the whole idea is to create notion that they don't have enough money, that the officers are not paid. That's totally ridiculous. These are still communists. The leadership of the Russian military is still communist. They were never replaced. These people were never recalled. They were never brought to justice. The KGB, and this is, they admitted, in 1993, an article I have, that the KGB 50,000 high-level officers, only 56 of them were let go. So these people are still there. Of course, and new people are recruited on the same terms. Russian military has the old Soviet flag And so these people run the same kind of operations as before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have the statement of Colonel Lunev. He said, despite the end of the Cold War, and the Russian military is still preparing for a war with the United States. So, I don't know where Mr. Williams is getting his stuff, but again, there's something peculiar about statements like that because, I don't even see how the Russians would allow any of that happen, how they could allow Al-Qaeda to have, nuclear bombs. And, of course, I have a book written by British terrorism expert Simon Reeve called The New Jackals, and on page 216, he says that even in these bombs there has to be the old Soviet coding, so the Al-Qaeda is trying to recruit some of the quote former unquote Soviet military experts to explain about the coding and about make the nuclear bombs useful. This is again the Russians they hate Arabs. I know that. They wouldn't allow anybody. The Russians were paranoid all the time. We had when I served in the military, we had a Russian base next to us. They were in state of alert all the time. Those soldiers were in state of alert. So they were prepared to fight the war. Even with us, and we were friendly military to them back then, basically under their orders. They are paranoid about everybody. They wouldn't allow any control of nuclear bombs to anybody but to their trusted agents and officers. And this is only part of the Russian deception to make believe that America is in fact fighting Islamic fanatics instead of fighting the real culprits, which are the Russian communists.
Okay, so if and when a nuclear event happens in America and it's attributed to suitcase nukes and Al-Qaeda, it will have a Russian signature on the whole thing, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but, we're not watching our borders. We're not watching our container yards. And there's a lot of Russian companies and Chinese company, for example, Hanjin company, for example, China Shipping. These companies bring in Chinese containers.
Right.
Those are not opened up.
Right.
The only port that I know of that has some kind of detection tool is Elizabeth, New Jersey. What about Seattle? There's Hanjin container terminal, right in downtown Seattle. You know, all they have to do is bring in one container, with a nuclear bomb, the real deal, the big bomb, the nuclear warhead.
Right.
Preposition it, set it up. Put it into a really thick leather cover, so it wouldn't leak any radiation. These things are not checked, and these nukes are, in my opinion, already prepositioned in our country. According to a statement by Colonel Lunev, and this is this is verified that he was proven as a reliable source. He was in charge of 12 suitcase nukes when he served as a Soviet agent here. He estimated that there's anywhere from 100 to 200 suitcase nukes already prepositioned in America. And what about the real bombs? All they have to do is park a container near to our military base and unhook the container and just leave. You know, and I can tell based on my job that it's very easy to pass through way stations. You can bypass those who don't have the sensors. Some of the states don't have, from Seattle, to make it from Seattle to Chicago, it's absolutely easy. And I speak from my personal experience due to my job, that it's absolutely easy to make it without being recognized and noticed and being checked. So we are looking in the, inside the barrel of a gun, not really, recognizing who's behind, the gun to pull the trigger.
Okay, very, very good statements there, my friend. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Start calling. We'll be right back. Questions to Hansa in the next hour. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Before we move into that second hour, Hansa, Russian space agency plays down delay in NASA shuttle launch. And certainly we've had a joint space program since the 1970s. They just celebrated the 30th anniversary of the Soyuz joint Russian-U.S. space partnership. I mean, it's just incredible. Here we see Space Agency Director Anatoly Primanov play down the seriousness of the delay in the launch of NASA's space shuttle Discovery. Quote, I think it is a fault which should provoke panic. Personally, I believe that they could have flown even with the fault, end quote, Primakov said Thursday in an interview with the Russian television channel NTV. However, he said the delay, quote, isn't a good thing for U.S. because we have to soon prepare the development plan for the International Space Station, the ISS, with our foreign partners, end quote, he said. Discovery space shuttle mission is intended to deliver supplies and equipment to the ISS. Isn't this interesting? He says, quote, if the Americans abandon this program, Russians couldn't do it on its own, end quote, Primanov said. Well, what do you think of this thought and the new space shuttle and the International Space Station, Hansa?
Well, I think it's a big mistake to be associated with the Russians in the first place. Russians, those astronauts are not ordinary astronauts. They are military intelligence officers. To do anything with Russia is in fact a mistake. We should really reconsider and stop, and pursue these, research, things with NASA by ourselves. I mean, we should totally disregard Russia because, of course, I'm just looking at the World Net Daily article from the May 28, 2005. It says Russia threatens force if U.S. militarizes space. So this is part of the what these people are about. This is their true face. Any kind of cooperation to pretend that they are friendly to us in the space research is totally bogus. These people, are our enemies. And, Financial Times reported at that time that Vladimir Yermakov, senior counsel at the Russian embassy in Washington, said his country is urging the U.S. through diplomatic channels against any plans for space militarization. But he told a space conference Russia would have to react, possibly with force, if the U.S. successfully put a combat weapon in space. This is the true face of Russia. See, they already have these kind of weapons. They were researching all this and testing. They have laser weapons, space-based weapons. These people, didn't really sleep, throughout the 90s. They wanted to open up the their door to the West to lay their hands on Western technology, and so now they're able to do these kind of things, but they're still communists.
Hansa, good point. We're moving to 9.975, I believe, on the shortwave dial. 9.975. We'll be there momentarily to continue the broadcast. Your calls, 800-313-9443, are requested. When we return, we'll talk about the Moscow connection with the Ford Foundation. 7465. That's 7465. 7.465. I think we're missing a number. On shortwave, we'll be back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.